And I trust that God will direct us tonight. I believe that God is capable of directing us.
Amen.
I believe that God does direct men and
yes,
and speaks to men and would speak to many others if they'd listen.
Right.
But many times people will not be led of God, and therefore they don't hear from God.
Right.
But it's possible. There are enough divine record to let us know that God speaks to man if we will accept His Word.
That's right.
So would you be in prayer as we read the Word of God tonight, reading from Matthew chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit, that is a capital S, of the Spirit. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, I want to speak tonight on this subject, an encounter with the devil. An encounter with the devil. And if you will look very closely, let me give you some scriptures to kind of build a little background here. James, the gospel writer, tells us that God cannot be tempted with evil, and neither tempteth he any man. So at the very onset, I would like to say that God is not involved in this temptation. That is, God is not being tempted. God cannot be tempted. But the Son of God is being tempted.
Right.
The Son of God is being tempted.
Right.
God is not being tempted. God cannot be tempted with evil.
Amen.
And neither tempteth he any man.
Right.
But the Son of God was tempted on every point, like as we are, and yet without sin.
Right.
That is, that Jesus submitted himself to the will of the Spirit. And then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. It was a predestined, prearranged meeting by the Spirit. The eternal Spirit had prearranged it. It was a date with destiny. It was prearranged. It was destined that the Son of God would be tempted. And he was led in that direction. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit. Another gospel writer said, the Spirit driveth him. It's all the same thing. It was the urging of the Spirit that directed him, that motivated him, that set him upon his journey. He was headed for an encounter with the devil. It was going to be, he was going to be tempted, and perhaps tested is the best word. Going to be tested. And you, if you will read the entire setting of the third chapter that leads up to this, you will find that it was shortly after the baptism of Jesus by John. Now, John had baptized Jesus in the River Jordan, and the heavens were open, and a spirit descending like that of a dove, and John saw it and bare record that this was the Son of God. And a voice spoke out of heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. Hallelujah. And then the Bible says that Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, another scripture said, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost was led into the wilderness. He was well able to face the encounter with the devil. He was on his way to meet the adversary. The word Satan means adversary. The devil is means, of course, Satan, dragon. We call him Slewfoot, Lucifer, the accuser of the brethren. He is the arch enemy of all righteousness. He has set himself against God and against everything that is ordained of God. Hallelujah. I suppose that debates could be carried on about the origination of the devil and where he came from and how he came to be such a bad character. And maybe after all of the debating, it would still be unresolved. Let it suffice that God creates evil, God creates good, that is, God leaves the capacity for evil. Not that God makes any man entirely evil, but the option is there. The option is there. The capacity is there. Not that God would intentionally create you evil, but it's because of a period of testing and of trial and tribulation that you must go through this. The capacity for evil is there, the option. It's up to you and I whether we make the election or not. Praise God. Hallelujah. But whether the devil was created in the beginning evil or whether he went astray is beside the point. He is our enemy.
He's our enemy.
That much I am sure.
Right.
Many scriptures tell me that the devil is a deceiver, that he deceives.
Right.
The Bible tells me that he's able to perform lying wonders and miracles. He does strange things. He encompasses thousands and thousands with marijuana and all forms of ungodliness, of lying and cheating and stealing and blackguarding. And he has dragged mankind down into the lowest pits, into the bottomless pit, if you please. And he has entangled them, and he has woven his web of deceit and of trickery until he holds men tight in his grasp. He is your enemy. Yes, he is. He is an enemy. Jesus said concerning the tares that were among the wheat, when the disciples questioned him and said, "Who hath done this? Did not we sow good seed? And why are these tares here in the field?" And Jesus said, "An enemy hath done this." The devil is our enemy. The devil is against you and he is against me. The devil is against Christ. And he's doing everything he can to drag men down into the pits of hell. But I read that Jesus Christ, being full of the Holy Ghost, that he came out of Jordan River and he went on his way and he was led. He was driven by the Spirit. It was an encounter with the devil. This was the Son of God, perhaps maybe the first real opportunity that the devil had to meet him face to face. I know that the devil tried to destroy him at birth. I know that Herod tried to kill the children. I know that Joseph was warned by an angel of the Lord to go into Egypt land and take the young child. And the devil missed that opportunity. But here he is. This is going to be a face-to-face encounter. And that Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, he goes into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Hallelujah. He's well able. He's well equipped. He's full of the Holy Ghost. And he's just come from the baptism. He's launching out on the career of his earthly ministry. He's going to reach for a world. He's going to reach for lost humanity. He must first face the devil. He's going to face him right and look him in the eye and show the devil that he is loser in the encounter.
Hallelujah.
It happened. Oh, it happened many, many years ago. It goes back. It's an old, old story. We tell it over and over again. We preach it time and time again. It goes back to the Garden of Eden, to a man made in the image of God by the name of Adam, and a wife taken from his side, that we hear the story pictured over and over again every time we have a wedding, that God created man, and from the side of man, he took a woman and brought her to man to be his helpmate. And then the devil entered the picture in the garden. And all that God had for the man, he lost. Everything that he had.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. All of the fellowship that he had with God. The Bible said if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And our fellowship is with the Father. And you see, we have fellowship with God if we're walking in the light. But if we're outside the light, if we live in darkness, if we sit in darkness, then we are in despair. We are in a hopeless situation. And it's when someone is able to realize and to recognize the hopelessness of their situation that they start to make amends in their life.
Right.
The tragedy of this world is that countless multiplied thousands are living in a hopeless situation and do not even recognize it.
Right.
They do not realize it. The devil has lied to them so much. He has deceived them so much. He has dragged them into the back rooms and the bar rooms. He's dragged them into the alleys of sin. And he's spoiled their life. He has bruised them and passed upon them. He has torn them. He's blindfolded them. He's blind them. He's crippled them. They're lame, crippled spiritually, hobbling around. They're sitting on the sidewalk with their head hanging low. They're brokenhearted people in this world, if you please. Oh, yes. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, let me tell you something, friend. There's some desert places in this world. You haven't been to all of them. You're immune from it. You're insulated from it. Oh, listen, but out in Las Vegas, there the lights never go out. There the roulette wheel never stops spinning. There the dice never stop rolling. Oh, friend, listen, in the back room, in the back parlors, the giggles of the women and the men, it goes on night and day. They sell themselves to prostitution. They sell themselves to ungodliness. It happened a long, long time ago.
Had them lost everything that was good? Had them lost everything that God had for man? Had them lost the fellowship of God? The devil came along. He deceived Eve. He said, see, here's a tree that's good, and you can eat of it, and you'll be wise, and you'll be like God, and oh, you will ascend to the heights of glory in your own mind eye. You're going to be great. You're going to be famous. You'll have your name written like the stars in the ladders across the billboard. That's the lie the devil's been telling.
Amen.
Oh, he tells it over and over again. He offers you financial security. He offers you a mansion. He offers you fine furnishings. It becomes a burden. It becomes a millstone around your neck. It drags you into the lower pits of hell. And oh, sin, listen, all the time the devil's painting a rosy picture. But listen, devil, I got some news for you. There's going to be an encounter. I got some news for you, devil. Oh, I want to know. Listen, there's going to be a seed of a woman going to come along down through the pages and annals of history, and there's going to meet you face to face, devil. You can take man, and you can bruise him, and you can stomp on him, you can cast him down, and you can make a desert out of his habitation. You can make it look like a parched land. It'll look like a desert land. It'll have no roses blooming in it. The cedars will dry up and die. The mountains will be laid waste. There'll be no highway there for him to walk on. But I'm telling you something, devil, there's going to be a time. There's going to be a time down yonder when there's going to come the seed of a woman when the fullness of time was come. God sent forth his son made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. There's going to be a time when the ransom are going to come. They're going to return to Zion. They're going to have songs and everlasting joy upon their head. There's going to be a highway there. It's going to be called the highway of holiness. Devil, how you like that? Devil, how you like that? You can rob that. You can rob Adam of all of his blessings. You can cause God to be angry with him. God will put him outside the garden. He'll put an angel there with a sword drawn. He'll say, Adam, you can't come back. You've sinned. You've violated my law. Adam, you can't come back. The devil's sitting on the sideline. He laughed with glee. He said, boy, I got him. I got him where I wanted him. I got him there under my clutches. Come on this way, Adam. Come on down here. I've got more to show you. But I can hear Isaiah down the line. I can see God begin to look ahead. And God begin to speak to a prophet. And God said, wait a minute, devil. I've got some news for you. Wait a minute, devil. Don't rejoice yet. I tell you, unto us a child is born. And unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Not your shoulder, devil. I know, devil, listen. You're the prince of this world. You're the accuser of the brethren. You'll stand up into heaven, but you're going to be cast down. You're going to lose the battle. You're going to lose the fight. You're going to lose the victory. Just hold on. We got good news for the children of God. I got good news for you, Adam. I got good news for you, Judah. I got good news for you, Jacob. I know there's coming a time, praise God, when there's going to be an encounter with the devil. It's prearranged. It's predestined. It's called for. The prophet are crying for it, and it's going to happen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. 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 Every time that God begin to work his plan, it's going to be the seed of a woman. It's going to bruise your head. It's going to bruise your head. The devil didn't like it. He got mad. He got angry with the nations. He got angry with the kings of the world. He used every king he could ever use. He tried to use Israel, and he did. Hallelujah. He wanted to wreck God's plan. He wanted to overthrow God's plan. He wanted to destroy the hope that God had offered to his people. And so the devil got mad. But oh, Jacob, sitting down on his deathbed, there in the closing twilight of his life, called all of his boys in, 12 sons of Jacob, began to lay his hands on their head, got down in the 10th verse of that chapter to Judah, and he said, Judah, Judah, the lawgiver will not depart from between thy feet to Shiloh come. Shiloh coming, devil. Rest is coming, devil. Peace is coming, devil. Hope is coming, devil. Tranquility is coming, devil. Oh, from out of turmoil. There's going to be hope. From out of confusion, there's going to be peace. From out of chaos, there's going to be order. Praise God, devil. I want you to know. I want you to know that I've already said that I've already inspired Judas, Jacob to lay his hands on Judas' head and tell him that there's going to be a hope come down the line. A lawgiver's going to come. A lawgiver's going to come. He's going to straighten this thing out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Time went on, old time will not permit. Children of Israel journeyed, coming into Canaan's land. A Gentile prophet in his habitation received a message from Balak that he might come and curse the children of Israel. Their tents were spread out, and he was afraid. Balaam came over there, and he started to get ready to curse them. He looked around and his mouth opened up and he said, "How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, thy tabernacles, O Israel. They're spread out like a valley. All the tents are across the valley." I tell you, he said, why? He said, "They look like the planting of the Lord. They look like the cedars of Lebanon. My God, he poured out his water out of a water bucket. It's like God was the gardener, Brother Paul. God was the gardener with Israel." That's what old Balaam said. He said, "It's the planting of the Lord. It's like the cedars of Lebanon, and I can't do anything with them. That's God's promised seed coming." And he's like, he's got his water bucket. Read it. And he's pouring out the seed out of his water bucket. And God is watering the ground, the thirsty land, the desert land, the parched land. And there's going to come a time when there's going to be rejoicing, and there's going to be all the sighing is going to cease. All the sorrow is going to fade away. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Balaam didn't want to do it. But he said, "I can't help myself, baby. You see, I see it." He wasn't reading the tea leaves. Oh, no. He wasn't palm reading. Brother, he was focused in on God Almighty. Hallelujah to God. He said, "I'll fight another time." Oh, he looked out there and he said, "God has given him, he's brought him out of Egypt. And he's got the strength of a unicorn. And he's coming against his enemies and he's pushing the nation. And nobody can stand, Balak. Nobody can stand in the way. He's like a unicorn. Why, he's like a great lion. He's risen up. And nobody will bother him. And he captures. And he lies down. And nobody fears him. And nobody wakes him. And they leave him alone because he's a lion." And Balak was mad and said, "Don't you think you say anything else against him?" He went on and he said, I'll try it. Devil, I can see the devil. I can see the devil. He's jumping up and down. You see, that's all his plan. He's trying to stop Israel. He's trying to destroy the promised seed. He's trying to bring the plan of God to naught. He's trying to stop him. And so he's trying. And he's mad and he's angry. And he's jumping up and down and he's frustrated. And the devil's on the run. And there he is. And he's so angry with the prophecy of Balaam. And the devil sitting on the sideline, gritting his teeth.
Oh, God.
Praise God. Balaam comes out. Balaam. And he tries it again. "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. For a star shall rise out of Jacob." Oh, the devil, I can see. A star shall rise out of Jacob and a scepter out of Israel. Hallelujah. There's going to come a time when that scepter is going to come. That symbol of rule and reign and authority, devil. And you're going to lose your seat. Hallelujah.
It's
going to be an encounter. Got to be. Going to be. Hallelujah. An encounter. Hallelujah to God. The devil, mad, angry, stared up. I can see him because he just jumped up and down with glee. When Israel is out there cowed down in their trenches and old Goliath of Gath stands up there and he just defiles God's people. The devil said, "I got him on the run. Got Israel cowed down. Got Jacob laying down. Said he was a strong lion. Said he was a big unicorn. But I got him in the trenches now." Oh, would the devil do it? Yes, sir. He'd been there. He'd heard the prophecy. Yes, sir. Oh, the devil knew it. He said that Judah was going to be a lion. Judah was going to be like the cedars of Lebanon. Judah doesn't look like Lebanon now. Judah doesn't look like Carmel now. Judah in the trenches. All of them cowed down. But a little old shepherd lad came strolling by one day. Praise God. And the devil looked around and said, "Who's that? Who's that?" And you know the story well. I'll not spend a lot of time, but how David went out there and took that little sling, and that stone flew straight, and it flew true, and it hit that old giant right between the eyes and killed him. And I can imagine the consternation of the devil as he realized that he was being fought. He was being beaten at his own game. And so it was that he kept in mind, "I've got to destroy him." And so on down the line, I read that David was moved by Satan. David was moved by Satan to number Israel. That's what the Bible says. That Satan moved David. How you like that? Well, David, you were a hero. Yes. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you do anything for God, you can expect opposition. You just expect it. You hear me? You hear me well? When I get to the end of this, in the writing in Matthew chapter 4 and over in Luke, it said, "And the devil leaveth him for a season." And the devil departed for a season. I'm saying there are seasons of temptation. You hear me? There's seasons of blessings. Overflowing of God. Everybody that's ever received the Holy Ghost know I'm telling you the truth. You can sometimes feel like you're so strong. You could take that devil and you could get him by the neck and you could throw him down and you could stomp on him and you're not afraid of him and you can laugh at him and you can say, "Take that and that and that. Ha, ha, ha. Boy, I feel so good and strong in the Lord. Praise God. Ain't nothing going to stop me." Look at him the next week. Got a long chin hanging down. Everything looks bad. All the debts are due at one time. You see, you were shouting on the 15th, and now it's the first of the month. Yes, sir. And that's right, Brother Frank. And the bills have got to be paid. And everything looks dark. And the dog runs away from home or catches a neighbor's cat. And the neighbors are mad. And some false pockets come by. Everything is wrong now. It's a season of temptation now. The best thing was the other week. And you're going to feel so all alone, so forlorn. You're having your encounter with the devil. You're having your encounter with the devil. Jesus faced him, but you've got to face him. And unless you're full of the Holy Ghost, he might get the upper hand of you. Praise God. But if you're full of the Holy Ghost like Jesus was, you're ready. You're able to conquer the devil. You're ready for the encounter. You're well equipped. Thank God. You've got the armor of God. You can handle him. Hallelujah. Well, David, you were a hero on the battlefield against the giant, but I got you now, boy. You've done won a lot of battles. You got a lot of battles behind you. Just be careful, friend, when you get a lot of battles behind you. The devil's not gone. Just because you won a few victories, the fight's not over yet. Praise God. We got to fight him a little longer. We got to go along a little more. We got to increase our effort for God. Let the devil get advantage of it. Praise God. David, you were a hero out there, but I've got you now. You've got some victories under your belt. You've conquered your enemy and your foes. You've had some rejoicing in the camp. They've been singing your praises, David. But now I want you to do something, and the devil slips in. And he got David to number Israel. David sent Joab out to number Israel. Joab tried to persuade him not to. "David, I don't believe we ought to do this. This is an abomination before God. David, don't do it." David said, "I said do it." Joab goes out, but he doesn't number the tribe of Levi or Benjamin. He leaves them out, but he counts the others. He doesn't want to trespass against God. But nevertheless, it was what was in the heart of David. And God spoke to David's seer, David's preacher, David's pastor. Praise God. David didn't want to see the preacher now. Praise God. He likes to see him when he needs him some information about the battle and what's going on. Where's Gad at? "Hey, Gad, how's it going to go with us on the battlefield?" "Well, David doesn't..." But now he don't want to see Gad. Gad's got bad news for David. Gad comes in and says, "Hey, David, this thing's displeased the Lord. And now I come over here to offer you an option. You got three options. 3 years of famine in the land. 3 months at the hand of your enemy's sword are 3 days before the hand of the Lord. Pestilence. That's your choice. I can see that devil jumping up and down doing that handsprings and backflips.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's David. Oh, he was a hero on the battlefield that day. He killed the giant that day. He rejoiced, come singing down the streets before the ark of God. David slain his thousand. Saul slain his thousand. David is 10,000. David's a hero. David's a hero. He's the one I'm going to get. And he got it. And he caused God to be angry. And so, and God sent the prophet over. The prophet said, what do you choose? And David said, well, let me fall in the hands of the Lord. Don't let me fall to my enemy. He said, because he's merciful. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! David knew that. He knew he displeased the Lord. He said, oh, Lord, just the minute that the prophet met him, the minute that prophet met him,
right,
David said, Lord, oh my Lord. He said, I've displeased the Lord and I've sinned against God. He said, give me the pestilence at the hand of the Lord. 70,000 of Israel fell. Angel of the Lord went out, drawed his sword out of his sheath, started killing. Ornan down there, the Jebusite by a threshing floor, looked up and David come along about that time. Oh, hallelujah. I wish I had a lot of time. But David come along about that time by ordering the Jebusite threshing floor. And he looked up and there stood that angel, had that sword drawn.
Oh,
just as though he was just taking a little respite, just a little break. He doesn't kill 70,000. Just a little respite. And David looked around and he thought of Israel and that sheep that he was the shepherd over and king. And he fell down. He fell down before that angel. He started weeping. He said, look, I'm the one that's responsible for this. And all of these sheep out here, you're killing me. Said, God, just take me. I'm the man. And Ornan, the Jebusite, saw the angel and his four sons went and hid themselves. They run, his sword was drawn. And when David repented so, well, God said to the angel, put your sword up. And they said, that old angel said, he sheathed his sword. He put it back in the scabbard. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He just slipped her back in the scabbard and turned around. And David said, well, they said, you got to have a sacrifice here. And David went to Ornan and said, I want this threshing floor. Right here. I want this threshing floor. And Ornan said, I'll give it to you. And the oxen and the threshing instruments. David said, no, I can't do that. I can't offer to God that which is free and that which I haven't bought and that which I've taken from you. I'll buy it. And he gave him, I believe, 600 shekels of gold by weight.
Hallelujah.
David said, he went out and he said, I got to find me some hewers of stone. Started looking around. What you going to do, David? I'm going to build a house for God.
Hallelujah.
The devil over in the sideline. What? What did I hear David say? Something about a house for God. A house for God. I thought I had him on the run. He gathered stone and brick, and you can read it and go on down, and he left it for Solomon. And it started from that encounter and that failure in David's life. David took that failure, and from that grew the temple that was the magnificence of Israel. Hallelujah. David turned defeat and failure into triumph and victory. Hallelujah! Praise God! Oh, I've seen men that's been trodden down by that devil and beaten and stomped down, and you'd think they were down and out. But the blessings of God begin to flow, and I've seen them rise back from their defeat. Praise God with a stronger determination than ever to beat the devil and to have an encounter with him and do something for Jesus Christ. And that's what David did. Praise God. And a house was built to serve the Lord. An encounter with the devil. Praise God. Listen. I won't go through it all. You know the temptations. You've heard it preached many times. How that the devil, finally he ended it all. He left. He left.
Yes.
He got his eyes blackened. Yes. He got his old nose bloodied. Amen. He got trampled on. Oh, not physically, but brother, he got it. He suffered a defeat. He did. And then Jesus, he traveled along. Well, I guess I got to go over here to Capernaum. Going over to Capernaum. He journeys over to Capernaum, and that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by the prophet. See? That the people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And those which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And shortly thereafter, he went into Capernaum, I believe it was, and stood up in the synagogue, and they gave him a book. Praise God. And he began to read.
Yes.
And he said, as he stood up, he had just faced the devil. He had defeated him. He had conquered him. He had trampled on him. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Oh, I can see that now. There's something. As he walks into that temple, that same Spirit that led him into the wilderness, that same Spirit that he was full of, was upon him again in that synagogue. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Devil, I know the devil was there. I know he was. Maybe in the wings, maybe kind of out in the window opening of that synagogue, but that devil was there, and he's hearing something that he doesn't like. He doesn't like it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted and preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. How you like that, devil? I am here. I am anointed to preach the gospel to the poor wretched folk the devil had trampled on. But along came the good news of the kingdom. There is hope for you. There is help for you. Praise God. There is consolation for you. There's victory for you. There's heaven for you. There's eternal life. And the poor, those wretched individuals the devil likes to keep down, they heard the gospel. He has anointed me, thank God, to heal up the brokenhearted. Thank God those that were brokenhearted, wretched mankind, broken down mankind, miserable mankind, the mankind that the devil has trampled on and bruised. And bruised. The bruise. And then the rock. It's like a piece of fruit. If you don't eat it pretty quickly or get rid of the rotten or the bruise, it'll rot. First the bruise and then the rot. And finally you throw it away. And that's what happens in people's lives. That's what happens to souls. They're brokenhearted. They're bruised. Jesus said he would preach deliverance. Thank God. He would set at liberty them that are bruised. He would heal. Praise God. The devil bruises them. And unless we can reach them, unless we can get there, unless somehow we can come with this ministry that Jesus has. He's passed that on, you know. And we can bind up those brokenhearted. Bind up the brokenhearted. Preach, set at liberty them that are bruised. Hallelujah. We've got to do it. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. And the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. It was a dark day in the history of Israel when Isaiah prophesied. It was a day in which they had been punished because of the devil. God had had to bring against them their enemies. They were beaten down. They were defeated because of sin. But a ray of light began to spring. Light sprung up to those that sat in darkness. That was a prophecy. Light's on the way. Hallelujah. Notice, the wilderness, the solitary place, shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The desert, that dry desert condition, that wasteland. I'm talking about men's lives. I'm talking about humanity. I'm talking about the world conditions. I'm not talking about the Sahara Desert, that literal land of sand and sand dunes and dust and heat. I'm talking about mankind. I'm talking about what the devil has done. He's pumped every bit of life-giving water out of them. He's squeezed them and he's punished them until they have no life-giving flow within them. He's trampled upon them. He's robbed them of victory. He's taken their song away from them. They can't sing anymore. Only what the devil would did. They can't rejoice anymore. But there's going to come a time when the wilderness and the solitary place will be glad. And the desert shall rejoice. It's going to be singing in the desert. It's going to be rejoicing in the desert. Hallelujah to God. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. Even and the glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. You know what grew old Lebanon? Now you listen to me. Ooh, hallelujah. Up on Lebanon were the cedars of Lebanon. You listen to me. Up on Lebanon were those tall cedars with their fruitful boughs in their evergreen condition. Hallelujah to God. Up on the mountaintop, far above all the desert wasteland, grew the cedars of Lebanon. And then listen, even with joy and singing, the glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. Didn't I say that whenever Balaam walked out that day and looked at Jacob and looked at Israel in there trying to come into that land that was promised him, he said they looked like the planting of the Lord. They look like the cedars of Lebanon. They look like Lebanon. And it looks like he's got a water bucket in his hand. Praise God. And he's pouring out his seed. And he's watering those seeds. And the Bible said, Isaiah said, the desert land is going to be like Lebanon and like Carmel and like Sharon, the excellency of the Lord. Praise God. Now you listen. Hallelujah. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen you the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Hallelujah. The parched land shall become a pool, the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where it was desolate, where the dragons lived, where it was a dusty, barren wasteland. Now look what happened. Where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. That's a sign of water. That's a sign of water. That's a sign of life. That's a sign of strength. Praise God, that's a sign of glory. That's the glory of the Lord. I said that's going to be the glory of the Lord. The deserts are going to break forth. The parched land, the dry land, the desert land, thank God. It's going to be like the snow-capped mountains. There. It's going to be like Carmel. It'll be like Sharon. Praise God. It'll be like Lebanon with the cedars. What was a desert? What was a wasteland? I tell you, God's going to bring it to pass. Devil, it's going to be an encounter with the devil. And God's going to come. And the lame are going to leap like a hart. And the deaf are going to sing and with their tongues loosed. And praise God, the parched land shall become a pool. Springs of desert. And a highway shall be there. The devil tore it up, thought it wouldn't be, but a highway shall be there. It shall be called the way of holiness. How you like that, devil? You know what it's going to be called? Holiness. Don't you know that made him mad? The highway that's there is holiness. Praise God. He hates holiness. The devil doesn't like holiness. He tries to bring about sinfulness. He tries to bring on holy condition. He tries to bring immorality. He tries to drown men in sin. But Isaiah said, it's going to be a way, and it'll be called a way of holiness. The unclean pass over it. Thank God. But it shall be for those the wayfaring men, though food shall not ere they end. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed. Hallelujah. You know what that tells me? That tells me there were people that were lost. That tells me there were the people that were sold in sin. That tells me that they were in bondage. That tells me that some power had them. That tells me that they were in prison. That tells me that they were behind bars. Wasn't that what Jesus said? I'm going to open the doors of the prison. I'm going to set the captives free. That tells me the devil had them. That tells me they were sold on the slavery block of Satan. Because the Bible said the redeemed shall walk therein. You know what God's serving? Notice on the devil. I'm going to set your captives free. I'm going to turn them loose. Where you brought a desert condition, I'm going to bring life. It'll be a well of water. It'll be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You can't stop it, devil. You can't put it down, devil, because the ransom of the Lord shall come. They have been ransomed. They have been bought. They have been purchased. Praise God, they have been redeemed, and they're going to come and return to Zion with songs, everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bought with a price.
Hallelujah.
Purchased with His blood. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's the final chapter. That's the final chapter.
Hallelujah.
And they overcame Him. That was the devil. He was there. He was there fighting. But the final chapter reads, and they overcame Him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. By the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. They were redeemed and ransomed. Praise God. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. Glory to God. An encounter with the devil. Jesus met him. He met him. He was led of the Spirit. He went right up there. He looked him in the eye. Word for word, he stopped. It's written. It's written. It's written. It's already settled. You can't change it, devil. That's the way it is. This word's forever settled. The devil didn't dispute that. He never disputed. He never said, that doesn't mean anything because it's written. The devil never did that. No, sir. He knows it's so. When it's written, it's written.
Right.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And Jesus won the victory. Praise God. Can you praise the Lord this morning? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother James, Brother Rutledge, whoever. Sir.